It's Thursday, February 13th, 2014, and you're listening to Last Time on Video Games, a show about retro video games and sometimes some other stuff. You're listening to episode 49. Gotta go fast. You're too slow, bro. Runtime for this episode is 50 minutes.
Hello and welcome to Last Time on Video Games, not the only podcast recorded in a snowpocalypse.
You're too slow. I'm Tyler.
Aw, damn.
I'm Jeremy.
No, you're... What?
What?
Say your name. I'm cutting that out, asshole.
No, I had a reason for this.
Oh?
Yes, but it's mostly related to what I've been playing. You made the joke last time that I was turning into Jeremy by only playing League of Legends.
That's true, and now you've added Hearthstone to your repertoire.
Yes.
I'm actually Jeremy. By my powers combined, I am me. It's even in my name.
That seems like a self-explanatory power. It's like the identity theorem, distinct from the secret identity theorem.
I would like to read that.
The secret identity theorem?
What?
The mathematical axiom that one is actually a superhero.
Yeah. Huh. Zach, yes and. Yes and.
I got nothing. It's
yes and.
Silly to me.
You know better.
I was going to say, that's like 90%.
How do you GM?
Pretty well, actually.
90% of GMing is yes and.
And I do it really well when I'm GMing.
So the thing is, he doesn't have to compete with my quips while GMing. He has to compete with my terrible ideas and plans.
No,
so.
Your terrible ideas are great jumping off points for something to go horribly, horribly wrong.
Exactly.
Which is really fun.
Okay, Jeremy, what have you been playing? Zach, I can't confuse the new listeners because I'm hopeful and want new listeners.
League of Legends and Hearthstone. I'm almost to the point where I can play ranked. I'm level 29 and a half way up my experience bar. So all I need to do once I've got that is fill up my rune page with armor and health quints.
Which will take like another 10 games.
Yeah.
Probably more than that for health quints. They're expensive, bro.
Yeah, they're like $2,000. Which all it means is I get more experience in normals before I jump into ranked. So I can suck some more in normals before I get around to sucking in ranked.
Yeah, but on the other hand, you'll be second with other ranked people, so.
Yeah, but apparently ranked is a lot more toxic. People are a lot more concerned with it.
People are just more mad when you go Vayne top. And, no, and that's because no one should ever be going Vayne top.
If you think you know what you're doing, I mean, I could see, like, using Quinn top. That's...
Welcome to the League of Legends metagame podcast with Jeremy and Zach. What else have you been playing, Zach?
I'll occasionally comment, because I know nothing about this game.
Like I said, I've been playing some Hearthstone. I started on Sunday, played a little bit on Monday, which equated to Jeremy raffle stomping me twice in a row because my deck is awful.
I've made a deck with no thing more rare than a common, and only 4 commons.
Well, the problem there is I'm not good with card game theory anyway. My decks in Magic were also fairly bad.
You need to learn card advantage versus tempo.
There's a lot of things in there that I don't quite understand for stuff like that. But I like the game. It's a lot of fun. When I'm playing on my level, I've won quite a few games on my level.
It's Blizzard. They have an even better matchmaking system than Riot.
You know, I've studied game theory a lot, and I apply it to actual games on occasion. Like, I had this random board game that I found at Goodwill that Ed and I did some math for to find the optimal moves for.
Yeah.
I've never tried to apply that to card games, though. I feel like there's probably some math you could do there,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, Magic the Gathering has had extensive theses written on it. The main ideas are generally card advantage, which is how many cards you have available to you over your opponent, and tempo, which is a lot more nebulous to explain, and different people have different exact definitions for it. But generally, it's how quickly you will kill your opponent if the two of you do nothing but attack each other for the rest of the game.
Although I think that's only Magic. I'm thinking more generalizable card game theory, but...
Both of those translate pretty well to any CCG. It doesn't translate well to Dominion.
Well, that's not a CCG, though, so there's that.
Yeah, I don't know how well it would translate to other games, like poker or anything like that, but CCGs are all...
Most
card games are based off of Magic anyway.
I'd say poker doesn't even count. We've done all the math for poker. There is no more math left to do for poker.
Or Blackjack, or...
Yeah, any of the traditional 52-card deck games.
If Magic didn't have expansions, it would be there, too.
Probably. It's got a big enough user base for nerds who probably know game theory. So,
well, I think it's just people who want to win more than it really matters.
I don't know. I've calculated a bunch of stuff for games I don't even play. I just like doing that stuff.
So. I would like to be a pro Hearthstone player. I would like Razer to pay me to stream Hearthstone, so I'm okay with some people take it super seriously.
Well, I can understand why some people take it super seriously. It'd be nice to be a pro anything gamer, but I'm not that good in anything I've ever done.
I think that, to some extent, it would make the game less fun to play, although I'm super competitive,
well,
so.
Anything being your job is going to make it less fun.
Yeah, but that's only because you occasionally have to do things you don't want to do.
Yeah.
So.
I don't know, watching Bjergsen use Zed is pretty friggin' amazing.
It is.
It's gotta be pretty fun for him, too.
Yeah, but he has to scrim 8 hours a day and has to move to the U.S. and try to hide his Danish accent.
What? Why would he have to hide it?
Well, he doesn't have to, but he chooses to in most interviews. But there was one he did recently where, like, I'm just going to not this time, so I'm going to have an accentless game, so. Anything else, Zach?
No, just watching some of the pro games while I've been playing League.
See, now you need to add Kingdom of Loathing, and the cycle will be...
That's not going to happen. I'm not adding that one.
When first we started recording this podcast, you were the master, and I was the apprentice.
I'll probably start playing MechWarrior Online a bit more now that Cody has it.
Oh, yeah. I completely forgot that was a game. I should play that.
What have you been playing instead?
Lots of Skyrim. I actually went and finished Mario 3, so yeah. I went and finished playing that. That was a lot of fun. The Last World, my God.
It's hard, dude.
It's a difficulty cliff. It just came out
there
of nowhere.
There are bullets everywhere. Everywhere.
Actually, that isn't even the problem. Like, oh, there's a cat. Okay, to be fair, part of it, now that I'm thinking on it, I was playing at night, like fairly late at night, and got to one of like the midway castle things, and I thought I saw a really tricky thing that you had to do to complete the level. There's like a POW block that you hit to make secret doors appear, and then yet I thought you had to run really, really fast, not get hit, duck under some flaming things, barely avoid a thwomp, and then get past a wall of coins while also keeping your raccoon tails that hit the coins after they turn back into blocks. Turns out there was another door right to the right that it wasn't on screen when I hit the POW block, so...
Good job, good job.
So, actually, it wasn't nearly as hard as I thought it was, but it's still pretty damn hard. There's, like an underground forest level that is made of bullets. The entire level is just bullets.
So. A lot of the Eighth World is bullets.
There are sweet tank and naval battle levels, though, so...
Oh, yeah, the designs for all of Mario 3, like we talked about last week, are great, but...
So, yeah, I played Mario 3 and a lot more Skyrim. I decided I'm starting to get close to being done with Skyrim. I'm sure there are a lot more quests I can do, but I'm feeling the end of wanting to play it creeping up on me, so I'm actually going to try to finish all the story quests before I tire of it.
Yeah.
So, I'm surprised I didn't do the main quest earlier, though, because I didn't know that you could, like, train members to become blades and then go out on dragon hunts with your house carls, which is pretty sweet.
I didn't know you could do that.
Yeah. I didn't either.
Yeah, if you do the main quest, Delphine and some old guy go find a secret old blades headquarter, and you can bring people to her to train to blades, and once you get three of them, you can go out on dragon hunts with them.
In Assassin's Creed 4, you can totally start a pirate empire and start stealing ships to give to other captains. To go do trade and pillaging missions for you?
That's I want to do that, I just haven't gotten... Because I've been so close to getting that in League. I forgot the last thing I played this week.
Yes, you did, because you didn't talk about it.
Yeah.
What, Assassin's Creed?
No. It was, I've been playing a little bit of Pokemon.
Oh.
Okay. Yeah.
I'm glad you picked it back up, though.
Yeah, yeah. It was really fun to watch you squirm.
Yeah, so we totally had a battle before this started, and I... Neglected to tell Zach no legendaries because I do competitive battling and it's just kind of assumed no Uber tier. And I kind of forgot that Zach wasn't really acquainted with that, so he used the game's mascot legendary, which is a dark flying type, and completely destroyed my Mega Evolved Lucario.
What the heck is that? What the heck is a twink? Oh crap, oh, yeah, it's Mewtwo.
Also, he had Mewtwo. So he had Mewtwo and Yveltal or whatever.
I'm going to go with Vettel.
Vettel?
Yveltal.
He's like, go, Twinkle. I'm like, Twinkle? What did he nickname Twinkle? Oh, God, it's Mewtwo. Although, I seem to recall that Mewtwo took
didn't last very long.
Yeah, he took a shadow ball to the face, and he didn't like that very much, so...
You didn't get him. I brought him back.
Indeed.
And then you ate Tyrantrum.
Yeah, my Lucario was kind of stomping face, and then Dark Bird death.
You that should have also... calm-minded against the Tyrantrum.
Well, I wasn't sure what the Tyrantrum had. If it had a ground-type move,
that's
Lucario
true.
It had Earthquake.
Yeah.
Yeah, that would have been trouble.
And I don't think he would have survived that after doing a single Calm Mind, so. That's the problem with Calm Mind Lucario. He's hard to buff if you've got him on a roll already.
You've got to switch him into, like, a poison type. What is Steel immune against?
Yeah, poison.
Poison.
It's good against a lot of stuff, but.
Yeah, it's a very strong defensive type.
But yeah, so.
Anything else?
I don't know. I had something before we started talking about Pokemon, but I can't remember
See,
it
See, I was
going
to transition to I've also been playing Pokemon, but if you have something else, by all means.
I can't remember, so. Pokemon.
Yeah. I'm making myself play it a bit every day when I get up, mostly because it's a good way to wake up. Berry farming. I'm not very far. I got through the Pokeball Factory.
And pretty much this entire game I've been playing in like 5 to 10 minute chunks, so.
Yeah. I switched out my Aegislash, which is actually a Dowblade, for Lucario.
Good call. My team is really metal fighting heavy, which I need to work on.
I've got two fighters, but one of them is Blaziken.
Mine is really heavy psychic.
Is it? What are you, Delphox and Mewtwo?
And Corellia, Gardevoir.
Oh, yeah, I forgot about that. Oh, man, I'm kind of sad that I didn't have Aegislash out earlier.
It wouldn't have, it might have gotten Gardevoir. Yeah, it probably would have gotten Gardevoir.
But it's got Shadow Slash, which is increased crit and ghost.
But steel is weak against grass, isn't it?
Nope.
Oh,
fire. It's weak against fire.
At least steel resists grass, actually. Yep. It's been a while since I studied my chart type.
That's what I had for use against Blastoise. My Gardevoir has Razor Leaf.
Oh. Not Magic Leaf?
No, it's
my
got
Venusaur learned Petal Blizzard, which is a move I had never heard of before.
Me neither.
It's like Razor Leaf, but bigger. It's a good name.
Yeah.
I've also been playing League. I've been on a losing streak since I won my first ranked game. I haven't gotten into ranked, though. I win a couple games with Leona, but usually it's because an enemy team member leaves, and I just happen to have picked Leona. Or I have someone on my team who's just crazy good that game.
Apparently the losing streak is just common right now, because I was on a 5-game losing streak before this afternoon.
That kind of sucks.
Won my game because one of their guys went away.
A little Knights of Pen and Paper. I think I'm done with it. I've unlocked most of the bonus classes, and most of them are kind of lame. And
like what?
Barbarian. Like, they're standard classes. Barbarian, Bard, Hunter.
Oh, games for your...
Nothing.
Necromancer is one of them, but I don't have it yet.
Classes for your players to play, as opposed to class as a player.
Oh, also you get the game developers as classes of player. I get those. But it's very grindy. It would be fine as a phone game, which is what it was designed as. I would probably bring it out every once in a while, but...
Oh! Yeah, go on. That reminds me, I had been playing another game.
Oh, go
it's
for
awesome.
It, because I think I'm done with Knights of Pen and Paper, so...
So you also picked up FTL at the same time, right?
Yeah.
You should play that. Okay. It's awesome. Although I really feel like that one could be a mobile game, but it's not, so... No, the one that I got that I think was designed for a mobile platform, but it works perfectly fine on a computer, is Super Brothers... Swords and Sorcery EP, which is a really hard game to describe. It's got a really killer soundtrack, though, and it's all, like, super tonal and thematic, but it's like a point-and-click adventure game, but every time the hero comments on something, they're, like, really, I don't know, it's wonderfully snarky about it, like Monkey Island level snark.
I was gonna say, have you played... point-and-click adventure games, because snarky protagonists are pretty par for the course.
Like, the first thing you have to do is, like, go up to a rainbow statue, and it's like, it's a statue with rainbows on it. We Scythians loathe the rainbows. Like, we met the dark-haired woodcutter of the Caucasus Mountains, named Logfella. He seemed like a pretty chill guy, so we let him lead us to the gate. Just things like that. It's pretty funny. I recommend picking it up, especially since I think it's, like, $2 or something like that. I think it's also for Android and iOS.
I've also been playing Hearthstone like Zach. Pulled my third legendary, which was Ysera, who's actually super good.
This is how you finally got one that didn't suck?
Yeah. The last two games I played Ysera, and then played Faceless Manipulator, which copies a minion. So I had two Yseras running around and dominated with them. It's pretty great.
I consider picking it up, because it's open beta, and yeah. I don't know how I feel about it, though. I have so many things eating... Well, really, just Skyrim is eating all my time.
Part of why I like Hearthstone is you can play it for, like, 10 minutes a day and get everything out of it.
Okay. Well, maybe I should pick it up then.
The way the, like, progression works, if you don't want to pay for it, is you get a quest every day. The quests vary between win 2 games of Class X and win 7 games of period. And a game takes about 5-10 minutes, depending on the deck you go up against.
So I still play a lot of Dominion, like, all the time, but maybe I'll switch it out for Hearthstone on occasion.
Yeah,
so.
I recommend this. I think it'll be better when it comes to iOS and Android, which they're planning on.
Well, they are Blizzard. They've got a lot of throw weight behind them that they can do a lot of that stuff easily.
Yeah, they're just still in development.
I think mobile gaming devices are going to die out once we have better control interfaces for phones.
I doubt it.
Why?
We'll see.
You also think consoles are going to be around forever, and I don't think that's going to be the case. So,
I think they have a nice niche that a lot of people like to have. You guys remember a while back I was talking about Mutant League Football was trying to be kickstarted again?
Yeah.
Well, apparently they're going to try again in the spring or somewhere in that neighborhood.
Did they not make their goal the first
time? They didn't. They had like a $250,000 thing or something like that. They got to like 75. But that was also because they were announcing that they were going to put it on everything. They're going to focus on, I think, PC for this time out.
There's a reason there are a lot of indie games also, on Steam, is because it's easy to develop for the PC.
Nobody quote me on when this is actually happening. I mean, I could mention it could be in December or never again. I mean, I just remember reading something on it.
I'll probably go find something for the show notes, and then we can inform the public of actual dates that way.
Also, Fantasy League of Legends. I'm not on top of all three of my Fantasy Leagues anymore, which makes me super sad. But I have the number one team in North America on Fantasy Esports, period. Out of 3,048 people. I don't know how many of them are active.
Well, like, two of the people in our league and that one aren't.
Yeah,
so.
Well, they both set teams this week.
Oh, did they?
Yeah.
Oh. Well,
Ed is beating you.
Me and Ed?
God damn it.
Yeah. I think Zach is beating you too, but I don't remember. You both had kind of poor weeks.
Yeah, my team was like Inox, Meteos, Crepo, and
Mancloud.
And I think I had...
And an AD carry.
And Doublelift. Doublelift, that's who it was.
All of those players did pretty poorly this week. Meteos did fine, but he only played one game.
That's also the league that I went entirely for your underdog recommendations for.
Yeah, really?
Except I think I grabbed Meteos, but...
Yeah, okay. I didn't think Crepo was underdog either, but maybe.
I didn't grab him.
No,
so.
Yeah, you have him.
I do?
Yeah.
I do?
Yeah.
Are you sure?
And I keep being like, man, Crepo's not doing good. Yeah. Yeah, he had -2 fantasy points in his first game.
Oh, that's disappointing.
He's been doing better since. But the other thing I've been playing is a lot of Sonic 2, because it's actually a pretty good game, and I have a lot of fun with it.
That depends on which version you pick up.
That is true.
Now, like Sonic the Hedgehog before it, they made an 8-bit version for the Sega Master System that we will have to play in the future, and Zach will love it.
I kind of feel bad dumping on Sonic as a franchise so much based on my opinions of the first one, because this game is actually fun, so...
This is everything the first game should have been.
Well, most of the things.
I think that it was my first Sonic game is a lot of why I have any affection at all for Sonic.
Yeah, no, I think Sonic and Knuckles 2, or Sonic and Knuckles on Sonic 2...
Yeah.
...was my first exposure to Sonic ever, so...
I like it. I mean, I think it was the first game I had, because it came with my Sega. It was like this and Mario and Ready Racing.
It's pretty good.
It is the second best-selling game on the Sega Genesis, after Sonic the Hedgehog. Yeah.
To be fair, I can see at the time why Sonic the Hedgehog sold well, because it was like bright and colorful and stuff, and they probably only advertised the first level.
Like the standard Genesis thing?
Yeah, Sonic was
bright,
the...
colorful?
The definer of our Genesis game list, so...
One advantage it and Sonic 2 has is all the buttons do the same thing, so the controls don't feel insane.
So, Sonic 2, much like Sonic, is a game about going fast.
It's way more a game about going fast than Sonic the Hedgehog.
If you remember, way back when, we used to complain about all the terrible platforming elements where you had to, like, sit around and wait for stuff. They put in a lot more just, like, random speed ramps in between those and actually have a lot less platforming elements in general. And
though there are a couple of obnoxious ones, like, in the second level especially. There's the second world, not the second stage, but it's got a really obnoxious part in it.
They've cut down on the platform elements a lot. There are very, very few instant death pits in this game. There are a couple, but compared
like, actually, only a couple, right? Only two of them, as far as we're aware?
There are three or four in the second world.
Okay.
And then the second to last level has a ton.
Okay. Almost.
But they are greatly reduced. Also, they've cut down heavily, again, the second world has this, on places where if you fail to jump, you fall and have to redo things again. Instead, they've gone with a multiple path system.
Which
where if you have quick reflexes
and
good platforming skills, you can go higher paths, which are often easier, though not always.
Although, generally higher reward, if nothing else. They generally have more rings.
Or a faster checkpoint.
Yep.
Or something.
Or checkpoints in general. Some of the paths have no checkpoints on them. It's entirely possible to take a route through a level that has no checkpoints.
Also, we're down from 3 acts per world to just 2.
Which I actually like, and you said you didn't.
It feels like too few. Mario has 4 levels per world, and Mario 3 had, like, 12.
The levels were a lot more varied in Mario 3, at the very least, and this, the two different acts of a world level
are fairly
thing,
samey.
Yeah.
I almost feel like it should only be one act, and it should just be twice as long, but there are possible loading problems, and as we've touched on before, games tend to be more fun when you hit success points more often, so it's good in that way.
I liked the music in the first Sonic, and one of the things I liked about it only being 2 acts in this one is that the worlds were short enough that the music didn't wear on me. I never got tired of any of the music in this game. except for Oil Ocean Zone's music. I didn't like that. Well, I just dislike Oil Ocean Zone.
But... The music was fairly good. I mean, the thing that kept bugging me was I kept getting trolled. Freaking Tails.
Oh.
Yeah, this game also introduces Tails and begins Sonic's terrible character creep.
What's he up to now? Like 50 or something?
Something like that.
Some of them are humans that he has love affairs with.
Oh, God. No! Tyler, save against illusion.
That's actual canon, though.
I know. I'm trying to spare you.
Sonic Adventure 2 battle, you really like. I know that.
I do, but Rouge the Bat is completely unnecessary. Shadow is super cliche, but he's a cliche I like.
Well, they needed somebody to counterpick Knuckles. They had to have the corresponding level.
What's the name of that trope? The Vegeta?
No, evil clone?
Yeah, like except he's not actually evil, though. He's...
Evil opposite. Like, you know, the Bizarro to Superman, the Owlman to Batman, slash Prometheus, slash, who's the current one? Why can't I think of his name? It is Owl something, but it's not just Owlman, I don't think. Maybe it is? Talon, that's his name.
Yeah, but those are all active antagonists. Shadow stops being an antagonist.
But he was designed as one, and then he just became super popular, so then he becomes Vegeta.
And I think we're on the wrong two.
We are. We've gone into the future.
Oh, that is true. Sorry.
This is this time on video games.
This is last time on video games. No talk about current-ish
although,
video games.
By current-ish, we mean like 12 years ago?
Yeah, I was going to say, I think that one's actually old enough we could do it on the show. But
it is. It is. One. It was originally a Dreamcast game.
Did you know that the Dreamcast had a built-in web browser?
Yes.
How did it not sell better? I don't understand that.
Bad internet connections.
Oh, yeah.
That was the days of dial-up.
Yep.
And it cost a fortune. And PlayStation 2.
I went back the other day and looked at GameFAQs polls from the beginning of history. Like, what do you think of this Pokemon craze? And the popular response was, it's terrible. And then they had another one 2 years later, and they're like, God, it's gold and silver, and like 30% of the population are like, no, never, it's gonna die out this generation. Now we're what, on the sixth series?
Or seventh.
Now we're
or
on Sonic the Hedgehog.
Oh, yeah. Sorry.
Which introduces Tails, your sidekick. You can play with or without him. If you play with him, he jumps after you. He's invincible, so he's usually useful for hitting enemies because he will just follow your jump arcs. He's also useful for stealing your air and attacking Robotnik and making him invincible so you fall through him into lava.
I had none of these problems, but watching Zach play it was hilarious.
Yeah. Zach must have molested Tails when he was a kid or something. Another interesting about Tails, though, is a second player can pick up the controller and control him. He can't scroll the screen, but he's invulnerable and quite useful.
More useful when he's in the hands of a human player.
Well, you can use him to tank for you.
He can take damage for you.
He's an attack dog.
He can pick up rings and stuff, too. I mean, the only problem is if he picks up buffs. So if he picks up, like, the invincibility thing,
useless.
Gee, thanks, Tails.
So Zach played this game right before we were recording because he played the wrong version. And there's a part in an underwater, I think it's the third world.
It is.
There's a part in an underwater level where Zach's running out of air timer, and a bubble comes up, and he jumps to preemptively grab it, and he would have gotten it coming back down, except Tails got it.
And Sonic drowned.
Oh, it was priceless.
It was pretty freaking funny. I will give you that.
Chaos Emeralds also make a return, but instead of in the last game where you needed rings and then you had to have reflexes at the end of the world, which I liked a lot more, when you hit a sign or a checkpoint, if you have 50 rings, you have to stop, which is
odd,
antithetical to Sonic, and jump, not too soon, because it doesn't activate at first, into this little ring, and then you get a bonus game.
Which is actually not bad. It looks all right.
It's fine. I mean, it's running straight down a corridor, avoiding things you're not supposed to run into, and collecting rings to get to a set amount that the game decides. I think it's 40, 50, 60 are the first numbers.
I feel like it would have been mind-blowing the first time you ever saw that.
Oh, I remember playing it. It was a lot of fun.
Well, I don't like it. I don't think it's as fun as the one in Sonic 1, but it's a 3D perspective, and it looks amazing. I remember when I was that young and saw it for the first time, I was like, holy crap, it's in 3D!
That's one more D than usual.
50% more D!
One of the only problems with it, though, is regardless of how well you do, if you don't get the emerald or not, you lose all your rings. So you could be coming up on the boss, have just enough, and jump into this thing, and now have no rings to have may be able to take additional hits and Tails can kill you.
And that's actually what happened to you.
Yes,
you got
it was.
Stuck on that, and then you didn't pick up any more reins, and then Tails kept accidentally hitting him and make Robotnik and Baldur
roll. No, Tails meant to do that.
He meant...
Tails is evil. Don't let the fluffy tail and the smile confuse you. He is an evil son of a bitch.
He was griefing you. He was being remotely controlled by Ed.
But Ed doesn't troll me. He trolls you.
He might troll you if you played a game with him.
He trolls the closest person available. That's just usually Tyler. Because they're friends and sit next to each other. Robotnik returns for all the boss fights. Should we go through all the levels? I think that's a good idea.
Yeah, they're
I got through
different.
Most of the ones this time.
A little more than half, I think. Let's just go for the worlds, not the individual acts.
Yeah.
The first one is Emerald Hill Zone, Totes Not Green Hill Zone.
Even though it looks exactly the same, although it's got an awesome corkscrew thing in it.
It's a lot of fun. I mean, there's very little that you'll have to worry about. You can basically just run through it.
Which I think is the appeal of Sonic games, but it is a little easy. I think some of the later levels are better for
that. If you compare it to early Mario levels, it's a bit too easy, but running through is fun. It lets you get the controls down. You know, the one button.
Yeah.
Although the acceleration makes this game deceptively interesting.
The acceleration's kind of cool.
That's a holdover from the first Sonic. They just lay out the levels a lot better.
Indeed.
You can also...
Spin dash now.
Yeah, you have to hold down and then push the button to charge up the spin, and you go flying off, and anything you run into will
How do you actually
explode.
Launch that? You just let go of down?
No, you hold... Yeah, you hold down, and then... Or, thank you. Yeah, you let go down.
That's how I did it, and then I pressed down again after that, and I think it kept slowing me down.
Huh.
I think you were just supposed to let everything go.
I was doing it. It was muscle memory, but now that I think about it, I don't actually know how to describe how to do that.
I didn't figure out how to do it until Oil Ocean Zone.
I think you just hold over. All you have to do is hold right, and it'll keep going until you run out of energy.
I don't think you even have to do that. I think it just automatically launches you.
I think, but I hold it down anyway.
The boss of Emerald Hill Zone is Drill Robotnik. He's very similar to the boss of Green Hill Zone.
Oh, that's
right.
He
has a car. It's got a drill on it.
Watch out.
Yeah, you just jump on him and he dies.
Just like Sonic, he might spin on you.
Second is Chemical Plant Zone, which is one of the best tracks in video games.
It's ridiculously catchy. I really like the music.
It's probably one of the harder levels in the game, too.
Yeah, compared to the next couple, it's got water, which is always a pain in the ass. And it's one of the few levels that does have some instant death pits.
You can also get squinched by a couple of the moving platforms.
Yeah, it happened to me once.
I actually really had a hard time with the boss fight in that one.
Yeah, because there are death drops on either side of you, so you have a limited area, and Robotnik has water he drops on you.
And I had a really time judging where the water was going to fall for some reason, so I kept getting hit by it by dodging out of the way, getting hit slightly, and then falling off the death drop.
I mean, you saw me play. The one time I had trouble with it was the one time I mistimed when Robotnik was going to be available to be hit and fell into a pit.
You also seem better at using Tails as an auxiliary cannon. I had a really hard time getting Tails to actually hit stuff I wanted him to.
So. I don't know why that is, to be entirely honest with you. It was more, I think it was just one of those things that I played this as a kid, and I don't remember
and
most
muscle
of it.
Memory.
But apparently my thumbs remember.
That's how I catch Draven axes. I know you can guide them. I don't know how, but I can totally do it.
You have to tell them to move when you throw it, or when it hits. You have to be moving, whatever direction you're moving, the axe will fall generally in front of him.
Okay.
What's the third stage? Aquatic Ruin Zone?
Yeah.
Which is another water level, although...
That's one Tails trolled me on.
If you have enough reflexes and platforming skill, you can avoid the water and just take high paths, which is pretty cool. It's got a very, I want to say Native American theme, but it's just
Mayan?
Mayan, that's what I want. Thank you.
Yeah. Generic South American?
Yeah, it's got, Indiana Jones totem pole arrows.
That one, you start getting to a little bit of obnoxious stuff because you have a few of the enemies will pop out of
That is kind of annoying.
Walls, and there's a few pillars and stuff that is actually in the foreground, so stuff is behind those, so you can't see them.
And it's even harder when you're going super fast, like you're playing Sonic the Hedgehog or something.
Yeah, I mean, it's amazing that you can take damage
the world
in a Sonic
has a
game
really
by moving too fast.
Oh, damn, I'm damaged. Sonic... He's out of rings.
But as long as he has one, he cannot die.
That's why you never focus on getting all your rings back. You just focus on one and be like, I'm getting that one back.
Although it's a lot easier when you have 140 or something.
Yeah, and they just go spewing out everywhere. But I like the boss fight in that one a lot.
Yeah, it's one of my favorite ones. Two totem poles shoot up on either side and shoot arrows that stick in the other side. So you have to jump up on the arrows to reach Robotnik, who has a giant hammer on his front to bash you and to bash the totem poles to shoot arrows at you. It's one of the better boss fights in the game.
The problem is if your reflexes are too good, you can jump up onto the arrows right as they hit the totem poles, but you actually have to wait for them to stop wiggling, otherwise they hurt you.
Or you just, you know, not be an idiot.
What? It hit the totem pole and made the thunk sound. It just went wiggle, wiggle. I'm like, okay, go!
Not wiggling, my one weakness! next is Vegas Zone, which I mean Casino Night Zone, which is pinball themed.
It's actually really cool.
Yeah, it's super easy, but it's pretty fun.
I think I saw one enemy outside of Robotnik on that level.
The enemies are really annoying. They have like a spear and a shield, and well, you can't really jump on them
I
or
think
in
I just
front of
jumped
them.
Over him.
Yeah.
It's like, I'm not going
to
deal with you.
But there are lots of flippers to flip you up. There are jackpots that let you play slot machines to get rings.
Yeah, I actually got 100 rings just by accidentally falling into one over and over again.
Yeah, it's a really cool setup because you have all that stuff. The different things that you can bounce into to get points and stuff for additional lives and whatnot.
The music's a little slow.
But it's still a good track.
Yeah, it fits the feel of the level perfectly, but the entire level feels kind of low energy for... Well,
yeah, I think part of the problem there is that there's the elevators and whatnot, and then you also have the bumpers. Or not the bumpers, the...
The, like, pullback spring mechanisms
machines
have.
The pinball launcher things, yeah. Those... They don't just pull back and go. It's a very slow build-up. And then it launches you, and it's like,
I'm playing Sonic, I want to be going fast.
But this introduces a couple elements that similar-ish things appear later, where if you're standing on them, your single button instead activates that item instead of jumping. So like the pullback bumpers, if you're on them, when you press jump, it slowly pulls it back, and when you're on the flippers,
it flips them.
Yeah, it flips the flipper instead of making Sonic jump, which I actually found disorienting at first, but you get over it pretty quickly.
The boss takes place in a parabola, and you can't attack him from below because he has a lightning claw that he drops mines on you with. And you've got bumpers and stuff, or you can just spin up or run up the sides and jump into him. It's pretty decent.
I use Tails as a ballistic missile on that one. Tails, get him!
I kind of want to play Metroid Prime Pinball now because I want to attack bosses in pinball form. Although, have you guys played the second Pokemon pinball game ever?
Nope.
No, I didn't even know they made one.
Yeah,
it's pretty good.
Ruby and Sapphire?
Yeah. I emulated it on my phone for a while. I feel like it was hampered by lack of an actual D-pad, but it's pretty good. Anyway, what's the next world?
The lava one. What's it called? It's as far as that goes.
Oh, Hillzone?
Hillzone, or it's like Mountain Hillzone.
It's High Hillzone, I think, or yeah.
It's Check the Show Notes Zone. There's lava, like, it's got some cool set pieces where lava is filling up the room and you have to platform ahead of it.
I kind of feel like the music's annoying, though.
It is, and it's got these springs where they have an enemy on them, and you go on one side of the spring to shoot them up, and then you go on the other side, so you go up way high.
Which isn't bad, but it stops you from running.
Yeah, I like the idea that they have that in there. It's something a little different than otherwise, and you can use it to your effect. I mean, or you can just... I mean, it's not great, but...
Yeah, it's not bad. It just, it's okay. It is a novel idea at the time, I think, but...
It's one of the most boring levels. It's as far as I could get when I played this game before. I think mostly because I got bored and didn't have suspend states.
They really help.
The boss is Lava Submarine Robotnik. He's also kind of boring. He goes in these two lava pits and will come out and shoot fire at you, but it's easy to dodge.
Yeah, be careful about letting Tails hit him, too. Because that's how I kept dying.
He's got a cool thing where he, like, does fire mines that slowly turn your... Or, like, the platform's on fire, but
they're
super
really easy,
easy
to
dodge.
The first time I died, before Tails started really trolling me, was I got hit by one of his fire blasts. Because he starts to speed up a little bit on those, I think. Or I'm just really bad at this and messed up.
Now, after you've gotten 2/3 of his damage done, I feel like he starts a slightly different attack pattern.
Then's Mystic Cave Zone.
Oh, I love the music in Mystic Cave Zone. Even though it's like they rip off a bunch of horror themes and mash them all together.
Yeah, if I remember correctly, that one was actually pretty cool.
It's got a lot of pole chains where you have to get on a thing to like bring down a bridge or...
I noticed
I definitely remember those.
There are a lot of them that act as elevators, but there are also springs right there, so you can choose either to spring or to elevator vine.
I thought most of them, when you hit the spring, you grabbed onto the vine.
No, there are some of them that are at the same level where you can either take the spring up or take the vine up, and it makes no difference. But it's neat, so.
I can't actually remember the boss of Mystic Cave Zone.
He drills up into the cave and then causes stalactites to fall.
Oh yeah, super easy. You can tell. Stalactites hurt you, but rocks don't, and so.
And stalactites are like kind of an awkward periwinkle color, so.
Yeah,
and they're also pointed, whereas rocks really aren't, if I remember my game right.
I was like, can this guy even hurt me at first? I wonder if those are, okay, yeah, they hurt me.
Also, he has a limited hit zone because he has his drills pointed up, and then he tries to joust you with his drills.
So that's when you have to jump on him? Okay, I remember now you say that.
Yeah, it's a really easy fight, actually.
Then it's Oil Ocean Zone, right?
Yep, I hate this zone.
I never got past that when I was a kid.
See, I can't really remember it. I remember going through it really quick. Like, there are fans that, like, blow you up, right?
Yeah, and there are some that can blow you to the side to prevent you from moving on in that direction.
That's all I remember. And like, the oil aesthetic. Like, there's oil that, like, you sink in, and I think if you sink too much, you die, but I never did.
Yeah, I never died, but you can jump onto the oil. There are oil slicks on some of the platforms to gate you, so you can't run up them, but you can go down them.
Oh, yeah, that was pretty cool, I thought.
But the entire level is, I don't know, it's kind of dingy, and it's, like, this awkward, like, orange, yellow, and purple palette.
That's
and
true. The colors aren't great.
The music was okay. It was this awkward kind of arabesque theme, which I thought was supposed to be, like, a play on the Middle East has oil or something.
Yeah.
I don't know. It was
the
not
boss
my
is
favorite
the
world.
Oil submarine, right? That, like, has a laser that shoots at you, and you have
and
to.
Also a scorpion tail he fires at you.
Yeah, it's pretty fun. It's similar to the lava submarine.
Yeah, I prefer this submarine to the lava submarine, but what's that? Oh, Metro Zone. I think you're the only one who beat
it. Yeah, Metro City Zone. It's got three acts instead of two. It's really slow. It's got a lot of elevators. It's got these corkscrews that you have to run on to move up or down. It's got these starfish that shoot out in five directions.
I think I remember those. Aren't those also on the oil zone?
I don't recall.
I don't remember them being there, maybe?
No, the oil zone had, like, octopi.
I could be wrong. I might have ended up getting there, because I do remember what you're talking about.
Yeah, it's got a city theme, but, like, the color's the worst. It has more corkscrews. It has, like, sort of turning corkscrews that you go through.
Yeah, it had, like, big mesh nets that you run, and, it, like, Sonic 6 of the side because of centrifugal force.
Yeah, I died on Act 3 of it, finally. And by died, I mean had to use a continue.
Oh, did we talk about how points actually do something?
They get you continues, which I think you should just be able to continue as much as you want, but...
Because it's a console game and you already paid for it.
But yeah. It might be a little short if you could do
that.
Oh,
could you imagine microtransaction continues? I'm surprised no one's done that
People
yet.
Have, but it's been rejected.
Okay.
Candy Crush Saga has that. You have to wait 30 minutes or pay to...
What? How can you make a saga out of Candy Crush?
Also,
Penny Arcade asked the same question.
Oh, okay. Yeah,
also, they now have a patent on the word saga for video games. So not only did you see that Penny Arcade where it's like, look, if you say your candy matching game is a saga, I'm going to be a little skeptical. And if you say it is such a saga that nothing else is a saga, you are a language criminal, and you belong in word jail.
Yeah, there was something else that was like, if you have a guy trudging across a frozen wasteland in search of his missing daughter or something like that, you know what? I think I'm going to call that a saga. I'm with Tyler, though. That's ridiculous.
They have a patent on the word candy and saga for video games and t-shirts.
How do you even do that?
Also, it's not a patent, it's a registered trademark.
So they can't put them, you can't put candy and saga together.
No, they have them on each word.
Yeah. Not so you can't make any video game with the word candy in its title.
That is dumb.
Yes, it is.
They should not have been awarded that trademark.
No, whichever judge awarded them that trademark should really
they should
take it away.
Awarding them the trademark for Candy Crush would have been totally legit.
Well, yeah, that's fine. But the individual words, are you kidding me?
That's stupid.
Yes.
That would be like me pending the word is. But I was going to say, speaking of Penny Arcade, they did one recently on Mordor Shadows of...
Yeah, did you see the trailer for that game?
It looks amazing.
It looks Peter Molyneux to me.
Oh, I think
also,
I saw
it doesn't look
Arcade.
Like a Lord of the Rings game to me.
No, it looks like Assassin's Creed.
Also, WB Games is 0-3 now on games that seem like exactly what I would want and are terrible. Well, also, they said it's not based on Assassin's Creed, but it runs on the Assassin's Creed engine.
Huh. That's an awful big coincidence there, guys. Oh,
but the arch enemy system seems really basic, and
yeah,
it doesn't seem as awesome. Much as they promise. But
the ability
to
send out minions on quests and stuff is kind of neat. Building up an army by influencing people.
And I feel like for that to work, it has to be such that playing through two or three times doesn't get you any of the same enemies, but you should get at least some overlap with your friends, and that seems really hard to balance.
Well, yeah, you have basically the same experiences. It's just, oh, you know that one guy? No, I had a different guy there.
Yeah, but
it was the exact same fight,
but then
though.
The differences are superficial, and what's the point?
Yeah. Well, I mean, I think that's entirely the problem we're trying to do in engine.
Also, could his backstory be any more generic Batman?
Well, I mean, on that count, I like XCOM, and that's, you get all the same enemies. The missions are largely the same. It's just,
yeah, but that's a strategy game.
Well, so, that's true.
Half the fun of that game is figuring out how to not get everyone to die.
Yeah, also remember that part in Lord of the Rings where the wraiths were possessing people and helping them bring the sword? No, you don't! Because Tolkien would never write that. It would be cool if you got one of the rings of power from the mortal men and they tied it in that way, but...
That's just the problem when you have games based on the Lord of the Rings trilogy is the fact that
the Lord of the Rings trilogy is fairly... more like Lord of the Rings.
Yeah.
And the RTSs that were just Warcraft 3 were all great.
Yeah, well, that's because Warcraft 3 was a great game.
And they, like, did the war in the north, and they, like, play as the dwarves in the town of Dale over here. They were totally doing stuff. And Lothlorien. This is all canon, but the movie didn't touch on it. Whereas now we've got Guardians of Middle-Earth.
God, why?
Where you play as Legolas's dad stabbing people in a terrible...
Isn't Guardians of Middle-Earth their MOBA?
It is. It's terrible. It's bad.
Well, they're like, League of Legends and Dota are doing great. Let's jump on that bandwagon.
Let's play Bilbo.
I just watched the trailer for it, and it was terrible.
Gollum throwing rocks at Gandalf.
Well, Gandalf was a laser beaming everything.
Tolkien is so sad right now. Anyway.
Tolkien's rolling over in his grave.
Yeah, the boss of Metropolis Zone is interesting. I don't know how to describe him auditorily. He has like a shield that sort of spirals around him.
Okay.
And it's made of these little Robotnik balloons, and you have to hit him, and then he releases one of the balloons as a secondary enemy.
Okay.
Which you have to jump into and stop, and he has a smaller shield. And when he runs out of those, he dies.
That actually sounds pretty cool.
It's a pain in the ass, but since you, as long as you have one ring, you're okay.
And it shows you how much health he has.
Yeah.
Oh. Oh, by way of how many balloons he has left?
Yeah.
Okay.
That's kind of nice.
I can't remember the name of it. I want to say Sky Something Zone. It's a really cool level. You are on Tails' plane. He's flying it.
Oh,
you
I think
can't
I've
fall
seen
off.
Screenshots
it will always
of this.
Get under you. And you're just going through this sky zone, and enemies are bombing you and trying to stop you.
That sounds pretty neat.
Sounds very interesting at the very least.
Then is Sky Fortress Zone, where Tails' plane gets shot down and player two gets to take a dive while you jump off the plane onto the level.
I didn't need you anyway, player two.
It's the only like confusing level because it requires you to go back and forth, and some things look like background when they're platforms. Also, it's got a lot of instant death as opposed to none.
You were talking about that before we started recording. You said that's all right, though, because it feels climactic.
Yeah, it feels like an airship in Mario, honestly, since probably because it's on an airship. But and there are chickens shooting bullets at you.
Because, of course. Don't you know anything about poultry?
It's by far more platformery than the other ones, but it's fine since it's near the end. Then last is Death Egg Zone, where like you get to the end and Robotnik is taking off in a rocket, but Tails shows up again to give you a boost to jump onto the rocket and fly into space on it.
Because we all know that hedgehogs can breathe in space, right?
Yes.
Yeah. Sonic Adventure 2 proved it.
Yeah.
Especially if they're super hedgehogs.
Well, though, in Sonic Adventure 2, you need to collect rings so you won't get out of your super form and asphyxiate.
Oh, actually, yeah, that's right. I remember that.
Well, with the exception of the two few space levels that you're running around outside the space station.
That's true. Knuckles does that. I think he has a spacesuit, though.
No, I don't think he ever showed him to have a spacesuit on.
I think he has a spacesuit, because I think that's an alternate costume you unlock.
Well, there is a grinding level in space as Sonic in that game. So.
That's true. I remember that now. But that's like in an air bubble. That reminds me, this is the game that introduces Super Sonic. If you get all 7 Chaos Emeralds, which we talked about earlier, and get 50 rings and jump, you turn into Super Sonic.
Who then does a teleport Kamehameha.
No, he's invulnerable, but slowly loses rings. He moves faster and jumps higher. The jumping higher is actually a pain in the ass on some of the platforming bits, but overall it's a cool improvement. Anyway, Death Egg Zone. There are no rings. First you have to fight Metal Sonic.
Wait, with no rings?
Yeah.
Oh god.
He's got like spikes on his head, so you can't jump there. You've got to jump on the front of his head, like his forehead.
Do you have to roll into him?
No,
or?
If you do that, you will like unroll after you hit him and die.
Huh.
And his attack is that he like rolls at you and he becomes a spiky death ball and you can't hurt him.
Oh wow, that sounds like a real pain in the ass.
Then you fight Robotnik and a giant robot.
Was this the introduction of Metal Sonic?
It was.
Okay, well, that's another character for the creep count.
But you destroy
count.
Him, and they later like create a Metal Sonic character.
Okay.
They're distinct robots.
Never mind, then.
Then you fight Robotnik in a giant mech. It can kick you, and then you die. It has claws in the front that if you hit him when his claws are out, you die. You have to jump up and like hit him in above the claw or when his claws are back. And he has two attacks, one where he jumps up, locks onto you, and then falls on you, and one where he shoots his claws out across the screen, and you have to dodge. And after you kill him, the Death Egg blows up. If you've got all the Chaos Emeralds, you turn into Super Sonic and come home. If not, Tails gets in his plane and catches you.
From space.
Gravity is my bitch.
He can fly with just two tails. And I don't think he's too concerned about gravity.
I'll have to show you that comic after this because it's disturbing.
No, you don't have to.
Yes, I do.
So anyway, that's Sonic 2. Pretty good game.
Yeah, it is surprisingly better than the first one. I was actually having fun with it.
Well, I had quite a bit of fun with it. I mean, it took 30 minutes for me to get to the fourth level.
It is a much better game than the first one, and they did a much better job spacing out places where you can run really fast and be Sonic.
That said, not only do you have limited continues, no save function.
Still.
Yeah.
1 year after Super Mario World. A year!
Yeah, the no save function's kind of a pain. I mean, come on, guys.
To be fair, actually, though, this was clearly built on the same engine that the first one was.
True.
So. I don't think any of the Sega games we've played so far have had a save function.
I can't think of one. Earthworm Jim, Gunstar Heroes, Comic Zone.
Nope, yeah, none of these games have had save functions. I feel like there was one more that we had in the list for Vapid Cheerleader game.
Spoiler alert, Sonic 3 has a save function.
There was one. I can't remember what it was, though, because there was another game that we played that got the same. I think we said that about Earthworm Jim. I can't remember.
But, oh well. Although this game definitely almost fits our Genesis game category, it's like actually fun to play and kind of has some mild
skill challenge.
It's
got all the Genesis problems, but it takes them and makes a fun game, for the most part. There are still times when you're going so fast you can't dodge enemies and you never saw them because of the pretty background colors.
So the background is still kind of distracting.
On the aquatic level, some of it's the foreground clutter that you can't see through.
There is more to this game than how it looks, though, which is a step in the right direction.
But if we compare it to Mario 3, think of all the innovations Mario 3 had.
I had much more fun with that game, too, so.
And it has so much variety of levels. After a while, you're just running in this game, which is why I wanted a save function, because I can't play this game through in a sitting.
It's
I get too bored.
Yeah,
it's.
And it's not even that it's a boring game, it's that I'm just doing the same stuff over and over.
They didn't
I feel
really
like a lot of early games had that problem.
Yeah, I guess Mario doesn't have a lot of variation, but it adds in the water levels and the sky levels and the castles, and it feels that way.
It's a variety of challenge. In this one, there's really not variety in challenge. It's just long strings of either running or stopping and waiting for something to get to the point where you can jump up and start running again.
Yeah, Mario games at least have distinct enemies that you have to approach differently.
Yeah, like you can't approach a Goomba and the Pokey thing on the desert level the same way.
Or like Hammer Bros, you have to wait for an opening in the hammers.
Yeah.
This game, all the enemies are jump on them.
The bosses the Robotnik fights are a bit of a change in pace, but.
And I like Robotnik better than I like Bowser.
Well, I feel part of the problem with the standard enemies in this game is that there are very, very few of them, it feels like.
I mean, the ones I ran into
the most of were on the aquatic level.
That said, I think that's a good thing because it lets you run fast, and that's what the game is
about. I'm not saying it's a bad thing. I'm saying that for a difference in challenge, I mean, that's kind of what you need to have, is you need to have something to block your progress that you have to figure out a way to get around it. Whereas in this one,
you need to get the player more verbs.
You have spin or jump.
Also, run fast.
Robotnik still has his theme, and Bowser didn't have a theme. The Koopa Kids did, though. I forgot to talk about it. In Mario 3, they added boss music, and that's nice.
Yep.
I mean, Robotnik does have all of his fancy gizmos and gadgets, like his submarine, his flying things. I mean, they're all very suited to what the levels are on as well.
And they're all different, which helps.
But at the end
Mario
of every...
Mario bosses are kind of samey.
At the end of every level, you always get to have that satisfying feeling that you have successfully completed it by releasing all the little woodland creatures.
Into the chemical zone.
Yes! Hey, it's not my fault.
Go free eagles to fly through the oil wasteland! There's a Dawn factory right next door. It's okay.
So I think this is by far our favorite Genesis game so far.
Yeah, I still like Gunstar Heroes, but I feel like this is an objectively better game.
It's also the best Sonic game, in my opinion. Sonic Adventure 2 is close, and they're really hard to compare.
Because they're such different games, other than they both feature Sonic.
And Sonic Generations is also really good, but yeah, this one's a lot of fun, and I recommend it if you have any interest in Sonic or old games.
Indeed. Yeah, no, I think this is a reason to see why people liked Sonic. So
yeah, and see why it still exists.
So, Tyler, what are we going to play next week?
Well, Ed's going to be in town starting next week, and I was going to play Fallout, or pick Fallout, because he wanted to play that, but unfortunately it's recently been delisted from Steam. So, in lieu of that, we're going to play the, I guess, parent of one of my favorite video game franchises, the original Prince of Persia.
I don't think this is the original one, because I think that came on the Apple II.
This is a port,
I think.
Oh, God.
They look almost identical. I've played both of them, and this looks almost exactly the same as that one.
The Apple? People made games for the Apple?
Yeah. You know, Apple actually had their own home game console at one point.
Have you ever heard of this little game called Oregon Trail?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, old
Macs. I forgot all the old computers in school were Apples.
Yeah, old Apple computers actually were very similar to old, like, DOS-based computers. They just diverged. But anyway, so this is a game that has kind of, like, free-run mechanics on a 2D plane. It's really weird.
So we're going to play the Super Nintendo port, available on the Virtual Console.
Indeed.
So next time on Last Time... No, it didn't go that way. Let's podcast again. This has been a production of Last Time on Video Games. Copyright 2014.
All the video games and other media mentioned herein are copyright of their respective owners.
Unfortunately, I don't own Square Enix. You can contact us at ltovg@lasttimeonvideogames.com or tyler@lasttimeonvideogames.com
or Jeremy, G-E-R-E-M-Y, @lasttimeonvideogames.com
and the best one, Zach@lasttimeonvideogames.com.
Our primary source of interaction is lasttimeonvideogames.com, where you can find all sorts of written material in addition to the podcast.
If you want to follow us on Google+, plus.google.com/plus/lasttimeonvideogames.
If you're one of those weird people who uses Twitter, we are @LTOVG.
Quick, press X. Too late. You failed. The podcast is over. So, Tyler,
franchise.
Remember when you were going to look up to see if we could play Fallout?
Yeah, I remember that about 5 minutes into recording.
Yeah, so did I, but I didn't want to... So you want me to pause and...
Yeah, I think so.